What's in a gift? Where does it get its value? Is it in the amount of money that's spent to acquire it? Is it valuable because it's this year's most popular item? Or because it's the next big thing that you need just to keep up with the neighbors? This is Christmas. There's something about this season that is best expressed by a gift. But what makes a gift meaningful? My guest today grew up in poverty. She was persecuted and bullied. She often wondered where her next meal would be coming from. She knew nothing of gifts or presents. Until that one day, on Christmas, when she received one, and it changed her life. Dania Hidalgo Andreas joins me today from Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child for a very special edition of the Edge of Adventure podcast and radio show. Dania Hidalgo Andreas, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
It's great to see you today. This is going to be a very special interview, very special conversation. You're joining us, of course, from Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. Mm-hmm. So I think the very best place to start would be to help us understand what is Operation Christmas Child.
Operation Christmas Child is a project of Samaritan's Purse. It's a nonprofit organization, and specifically Operation Christmas Child project. Its focus is to show God's love in a tangible way through a shoebox gift to needy children all around the world. And since 1993, over 179 million shoeboxes have been packed and distributed to children over 150 countries around the world. And I'm just one of them.
Yes, you are one of them, which is, I think, one of the reasons why it makes this such an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. You now work with Operation Christmas Child, but you were many years ago, a few years back, you were a recipient of one of these shoeboxes. Before we get into your story specifically, how does that work? So Operation Christmas Child helps to facilitate the collecting and then also the delivery of these shoeboxes to these children around the world. Walk me through that just so, you know, somebody who maybe has never heard of this wonderful organization has an overview of what you guys do.
So anybody can pack a shoebox gift. You can take a shoebox of the shoe that you just bought in a normal size shoebox. You can also get shoeboxes from our website, samaritanspurse.org/OCC. If you get it from our website, they can have the logo and they are ready for you to be folded and to be packed. We encourage people to put hygiene items like a soap and a toothbrush and a washcloth and school supplies like a notebook, pencil, a pencil sharpener, and also toys. Could be like a Beanie Baby or a Slinky. But we also advise to put or encourage people to put what we call a wow item, like a Barbie doll or a stuffed animal or a soccer ball. Things that when the child opened the shoebox, they would say wow because it's a wow item in their shoebox. And after you pack the shoebox, the third week of November is our National Collection Week. And you can drop it at the nearest drop-off location. People can find out what is the nearest drop-off location by visiting our website. And after these boxes are dropped off, after the third week of November, those shoe boxes, they get processed at 8 of our warehouses around the country. All the boxes go there. They get inspected to make sure they don't have items that shouldn't be in the box, just to make sure all the boxes are good and ready to be shipped to the child. And then after that, they get on their way to be shipped to the children in over 100 countries around the world.
Dania, I know that for many children, I know that Christmas morning is a time where there are probably more gifts than you can count, happiness and joy and all these things. And parents buy these gifts for their children, and the children feel loved and have all these wonderful new toys to play with. Is Christmas morning like that everywhere?
I would say from my own experience, it's not like this. Some children wake up and they are just waiting to see if they're going to have a meal to eat. I know that was the fact for my family. We often woke up to wanting to know if we're going to have food to eat that day on Christmas morning, and sometimes we didn't because of our poverty. And I know there are children all around the world. Some of them are on orphanages. Some of them are maybe in the streets that don't share the same experience that we have and we know here in this country. And so to answer your question, all I know is I can share from my own experience. Some children, this is not their reality, very sadly.
What are the regions that Operation Christmas Child works? And as they get these boxes into the hands of underprivileged families and children, what's the impact on those kids?
Yeah, it really includes so many different countries. I may not be able to know all of them by heart, but there are some countries that we call, like in Europe, for example, you know, we talk in Romania, we talk in Moldova, we'll talk in many different countries in Ukraine, for example. We talk in the Middle East regions, we talk South Asia, those regions around the world, and specifically third world countries that need, that children are in either war or poverty or disaster. And even in some countries that the minority, specifically Christians, are even being persecuted for their faith. We also go to those parts of the world because we know that there are a lot of children who are being persecuted because of their faith. And we want them to know that there's someone who thinks of them and someone who loves them. So covering that wide region around the world makes Operation Christmas Child the biggest project that sends gifts to children around the world. And it's honestly, you know, what a way that you can show a child that you love them and care for them than fill a shoebox with gifts and show them that this is the way that I know that you are seen and loved and cared for, because some of them may have never received something like this before.
Dania, let's talk now about your story. When did you first discover Operation Christmas Child?
Well, I never discovered Operation Christmas Child. You know, the experience goes back to when I received the shoebox gift. I had no idea at that time that this is an organization. I had no idea this is called even Operation Christmas Child. I didn't know that. All I know is I grew up in part of the world where my family were one of the minority in my country that was 98% non-Christians. So my family, who were Christians, that meant that we would face severe persecution because of our faith, because our faith was not welcomed there. And we received a lot of threatening letters. And I remember many were posted on our doors, and they were threatening that if we did not leave the village, then my family would be killed. And I know as a little girl, I was bullied because I was the only Christian in my entire school. So that was very difficult for me to handle. And we were also in severe poverty with days having nothing to eat. So in the midst of these circumstances is when Operation Christmas Child reached me. And I remember just thinking that, wow, somebody actually know that I exist and they know that I am here. And that touched my heart in an unimaginable way. And I felt loved, I felt seen. And most importantly, I knew that God loves me and he knows me and the details of my heart.
Does that make a difference, Dania, to a child to know that they're loved?
For a child who have never received gifts before, from my experience, I had never received a gift on my birthday. I actually didn't even know when my birthday was up until years later, because it was never celebrated because we could not afford it. And growing up in a culture where I was persecuted for who I was, but also I was in poverty. So people just didn't even pay attention to a child like me. And to know that someone I don't know has packed a shoebox, get filled with so many things that I've never even imagined having, shipping all the way across the world, and for me to receive it. I remember just feeling that love in a tangible way that I wasn't able to hear it from the people around me. So it makes a huge difference. In fact, it was one of the highlights of my childhood and an experience that I could never, never, ever forget.
I know a little bit about your story, so I'm going to ask a couple of specific questions, things that impacted me as I heard your story for the first time, things I want to be sure that you get an opportunity to share. I understand that you were facing great need, and there was a specific prayer, perhaps, I think, that you prayed and that you asked God to answer, and he chose to do so through the shoebox and through Operation Christmas Child. Walk me through that moment as you are perhaps leading up to that, the receiving of the shoebox, and then opening it, what that was like, what you felt, and then how the Lord answered that prayer for you.
Yes. Growing up in poverty with my family meant that there will be many needs that we would not be able to afford, and even many wants. And as I mentioned, growing up in those circumstances, I did not receive gifts on Christmas or even on my own birthday. And I remember the room that we lived in, it was empty. It didn't have couches or beds. We did everything on the floor with pieces of cloth that my mom has put together. And because of our circumstances, I remember my parents could not buy me things such as toys. So my biggest desire was to have toys like the other children have. I remember asking my mom, what can I do? Right? Because you can't afford that for me. And I really want to have my own toys. What can I do? And mom, she just took me and she said, Danielle, I know that I can't get you what you want, but I want to ask you to sit down and pray to God and ask him what you need and what you want. And if he sees that something is good for you, he will give it to you. So as a little girl, imagine I had no other outlet. I had no other way of getting the things that I need and want, but the outlet that my mom gave me was to pray. And so I brought these needs to God in prayer, asked God to send me my very own toys. But I remember at that time, there was another thing that I really wanted as a child and also was a need of my family. And that thing was to have something as a radio to enable us to listen to the news and a radio station there. And I just remember my family could not afford it. And so being the family that always brought the needs that we have to God in prayer, the radio is one of those things as well that we brought to God, along with the toys that I really, really wanted. We didn't know how, we didn't know what's going to happen. All we knew is we trusted God with these needs.
There's a shoebox. How much can I put in a shoebox? If I'm preparing a shoebox for to be sent through Operation Christmas Child, and it's going to be delivered to a precious young child in need somewhere, right? But it's just a shoebox. What can I put in there? What goes in there that can make a difference? You lived the experience of receiving that shoebox, and what might to some of us over here seem like very little to some around the world is so very much. When you opened that shoebox, did it feel like a little or did it feel like a lot?
Honestly, I have no words to describe it. I remember when that day came and we were gathered all together with the children and they called the children's name to come and receive the shoebox. And when my name was called, I just remember having all of those feelings and joy, that indescribable joy that I've never had before. When I opened the lid of my shoebox and when I looked inside, what shocked me the most was how colorful and brand new everything in my shoebox was. I'm not even talking about items yet. I'm talking about just how new and colorful these things were because I've never had these things. And so those were so impactful to me to the point that I was so worried to touch the items because they were like little treasures for me. I was worried to touch them because of how new they were. I remember just pulling the school supplies. And Adam, you mentioned that these things might be simple, but you know what amazed me with the school supplies is the pencils that were decorated. And I just remember thinking, this is the first time I see a pencil that was decorated. And I was even afraid to sharpen it because of how beautiful it looked. I love the hygiene items. I mean, we might consider as simple as a soap. To me, it was a big deal to receive a soap that smelled so good, that my mom didn't even want us to use it right away. She put it among our clothes so our clothes could smell nice because we didn't have soaps that smelled that good. And I received so many toys that put so much joy in my heart. I remember receiving a slinky that I thought it was a bracelet. And I wore it as a bracelet up until I realized that the bracelet can go down the stairs on its own. And it became my absolute favorite. And a Beanie Baby, that was my first new toy that I had received. And that was an answer to my prayers indeed, to have toys of my own. And of course, as we were going through the items, the biggest surprise and answer to prayers that we found inside the shoebox was finding a mini, fully functional radio. And I don't know what the person was thinking when they put these items inside, but all I know is these things that we don't even think about, the simple things that we call, to me, they were treasures, and to my family as well. And most importantly, they served as an answer to my prayers. And that's why it was so impactful for me.
Dania Yadago Andreas with us today here on The Edge of Adventure. Of course, my name is Adam Asher, and Dania, it's great to have you joining us and telling your story and telling the story of Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse today here on the program. Let me ask you this question. In your experience, would you say that God knows what our needs are?
I can share from my own story. I remember not only through the shoebox experience that God knew what I wanted and also needed. And I remember when I was holding the items, all I was thinking about was when my mom was teaching me to pray for that God that I can't see, here he was proving himself to me in a tangible way, showing me that, Dania, I have heard your prayers and I know your needs and I know the desires of your heart. And to have things in my shoebox that were very specific to what I needed and prayed for, I can't argue with that. I know that God definitely knows what we need. The Bible says that even a hair of our head is numbered. And the many times, not only that time when I received the box, but the many times when God has specifically answered my prayers, I can confidently say that not only God knows the details of my heart, but he also knows me, who I am as a person. You know, he knit me together. He created me in my mother's womb. So he knows what I want and what I need. And he is the faithful God that will provide our needs if we trust him, if we come and pray and ask him to provide these things for us, because he's always done it for me and for my family.
Dania, this is, of course, the Christmas special. This is Christmas week, and it's a very interesting year, and it's an interesting time of year as we now are celebrating Christmas. What is Christmas, Dania?
So for me personally, when I think of Christmas, you know, we think of the gifts that we get, and that's all good. But to me, it reminds me to the greatest gift of all of that, which I believe is the gift of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was born, you know, we were in a state of helplessness and hopelessness. We didn't know what kind of hope is lying ahead. But when that time came and Jesus was born, he opened the door for us to have that hope that we now have. Of course, the Christmas story, you know, many of us know it. We put the nativity underneath our tree, right? But what a joy it is to know that this meaning of Christmas, with Jesus being born, he provided this hope for us that otherwise we would not have had. This is the hope that we have been waiting for. And of course, it doesn't stop by Christmas. It continues with this person that came, who was fully human but without sin and fully God, and he came himself to die in our place. That's why we also celebrate Easter, right? They're tied together. And so for me, when I think of Christmas, I cannot stop thinking about this hope that was brought to us, brought to me, you know, brought to people to know that there is this gift that came to us and it gave us the greatest gift, which is for us to be able to get in relationship with our Creator, with the God who knows me, the God who knew my need. I can have a relationship with him every single day, and most importantly, be able to ask him to forgive my sins. That's why he came. That's why he died, to allow me to have this life that otherwise I couldn't have. This is why I'm thankful for Christmas, because as we celebrate this beautiful season, we get also to celebrate the greatest gift that's found in Jesus Christ.
Danya is joining us today from Operation Christmas Child. Danya, I understand you had the opportunity to receive as a child who grew up in poverty. You had the opportunity to receive one of these shoeboxes. Have you ever had the opportunity to deliver a shoebox?
Yes. After coming to the United States and connecting again with Operation Christmas Child, I remember the joy of being on this side. I was packing boxes. I was sharing my story with people to know that it makes an impact to children. But I remember one of the biggest privileges that God has given me was to go to the Philippines and be the one to take boxes like these and give them to the hands of children. And there was one distribution that we went to a school. And I remember the children there were about my age when I received mine. So they gave me the microphone. I called the names of children to come and receive their gift. And as one child was standing before me, I remember as I handed him the shoebox, all I could think of was as my circle, because I came full circle, right? I received the box and I'm here packing boxes and now I'm given a shoebox. And all I could think of is as my circle is coming to a complete by handing a shoebox gift, now I'm also being a part of starting this little child's circle. And all of a sudden, all the poverty, all the war, all the persecution that I've been through, it made sense to me because God was orchestrating all of that to lead to me being that person to make an impact to another child in another child's life, just like I once was impacted. So it was definitely an impactful experience in a different way when I was able to hand a shoebox to children just like myself.
You know, Danya, on the edge of adventure here, those who follow this platform, they know that there are two words, two terms, two concepts that are very important to me. And I think they're very important to many of us. And they are adventure and purpose. And let's talk about the purpose side. I know so many people, because I felt the same way in my own life, when you go through your daily routine and you do the things that you have to do and the things that just become your ordinary, your daily life. And many of us, at least, if not all of us, many of us crave an opportunity to do something that matters. And sometimes we have limitations. We have limitations of time, limitations of budget, whatever it might be. And of course, in 2020, we've all had limitations as well in terms of our ability to move around and travel and those kinds of things. But the thing about Operation Christmas Child is that someone here in the United States has the opportunity to undertake a project and to get involved in something that can seem perhaps like a small act of kindness on our side, but can have such great, great impact on the other side. So let's talk about those people. Let's talk about people on this side who are volunteering their time, who are giving of their time and their resources to make this possible. Talk to me about them. What kind of people are they? And do you need any additional volunteers as you look ahead at next year?
Yeah. So one of the things, Adam, that impacted me the most when I came to this end of Operation Christmas Child was meeting the people that make it all happen. I didn't understand that me receiving a shoebox, behind it, there was an army of people that allowed me to experience that kind of joy in my life. And when I met them, they're so in love with seeing children being impacted with wanting to be part of this purpose that we're just talking about. And so Operation Christmas Child has over 10,000 volunteers. Some of them are also all year. So they volunteer their time all year round because it doesn't only happen that third week of November and then you drop your boxes and it's done, but we have a team that works all year round to make sure that this project is going. So, of course, anybody can be part of Operation Christmas Child. There are different ways. People can, as I mentioned, volunteer all year round. They can apply, they can learn more through our website, which is SamaritansFirst.org/OCC. And they can see that what kind of opportunities we can have if they want to do that year round. We also have volunteers that serve at our processing centers. So I mentioned that we have 8 warehouses that open after the third week of November. to inspect all the shoeboxes. I mean, we have millions of boxes. We set a goal of millions of boxes every year. And after that third week of November, these boxes need to be inspected before they're shipped. And in these eight warehouses or processing center, we do have volunteers that sign up to go and be part of that. So that's another way of serving with Operation Christmas Child. And of course, if people don't have the time to do either of these, they can always pack a shoebox gift. This is one of the most impactful way that you can be part of Operation Christmas Child, is to pack a shoebox gift. And if you can't physically do that, there's also a way of doing that online. You can build a shoebox online and you can pack a shoebox online, and it will be packed physically at one of our warehouses to make sure the child will physically receive it. So there's so many ways that it can be involved, but definitely check it out on our website to learn more.
Okay, Dania, I want to be sure we make sure that the people watching this understand that even for this Christmas, it's not too late. They need to go online, however, samaritanspurse.org/OCC, whereas, and you mentioned this earlier, the cutoff, so the boxes have to be prepared prior to the third week of November, delivered by then so that the processing can and the delivery can all take place on time. But since this is Christmas week, if you feel called to be involved in some way and help prepare a box, it is actually not too late. That can be done virtually online. Walk me through that process. What is that like? And they would go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC to do that. But what awaits them when they get there for one of these last minute shoeboxes?
Yes, yeah, so you get to, there are a few items that you can pick and put inside the shoebox from these items. And it's actually really fun. If you have your children with you, if you want to get them involved with that, you can allow them to pick that up from the screen and then put the items inside the shoebox gift. You can also write a note for that child, which is an amazing way to make it personal. Virtually as well. Like you can write it online. And I believe it's a $25 for the shoebox to do that. And, you know, you pack it and then you're done. And so it's a very easy process and very, very fun as well. Of course, I always prefer to pack my shoebox physically, but I also understand that there are a lot of people that this is not a possibility, especially with the circumstances right now when a lot of people are at home. This might be a little bit of a challenge, but you can definitely do that online even after the National Collection Week is over. And next year, you can start early and you can pack up a shoebox physically.
SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And it is not too late to prepare a box virtually this year for Christmas. Okay. And then as you look ahead to next year, you can plan on packing one with your family and with your kids. So make it a family project, but get involved, encourage them, reach out to them, send them a note, and just let them know you appreciate what they're doing. Let's talk a little bit more, Dania, about your story. I do want to kind of catch up with, how did you get reconnected with Operation Christmas Child years later so that now you're serving in this new capacity?
After coming to United States, my family and I came here as refugees, actually, escaping the war and persecution that we were facing. And after 1 month of being in the United States, I had no idea what Operation Christmas Child was or Samaritan's Purse. I didn't know all of that. But I remember after that 1 month of being here, I'm still learning about the country. I'm still learning the language. I'm still learning about this new that we stepped into. And after that 1 month, one lady from my church asked me if I wanted to go to one of the Operation Christmas Child warehouses to inspect the boxes. And at that time, I didn't know it was called Operation Christmas Child, so I didn't connect. This was the same one that I had received. So I went with her, and I remember this warehouse is huge. Think of a Sam's Club, right? It's big, and it's filled with lines with that had wrapped boxes and so many shoe boxes and then huge curtains. There's also decorated with Christmas trees and many, many people there, which are the volunteers that I mentioned earlier. So many of them are there on those lines inspecting those boxes. So I was shocked. I mean, talk about the cultural shock, because I had never seen such a thing in my life. And as I was looking at that, I was trying to make sense of what that thing was. And the only thing that I could think of was, this is the Santa factory they told me about in America, because that's the only thing that could make sense to me. up until I was trying to look at the banners that were hanging on the top, and I recognized this logo, the shoebox with the wings, and I realized that this was on the side of my shoebox. And I remember I stood there just in awe and in shock, because when I left the Middle East, I left all of my items behind that I had kept for so many years because I treasured them. And when I left them, it was so sad for me because I couldn't take anything with me. And when I finally made it here and got reconnected with the same ministry, I was overjoyed, because I knew that leaving my items was not the end. Because God wanted me to be part of something bigger that involves this ministry that has impacted me. And so when I was on this end and I got connected, when I realized that this is Operation Christmas Child, I learned more about it. And then a door opened for me after I graduated college to serve full time in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is at the same exact location where I first met Operation Christmas Child, that warehouse. So talk about full circle. But I never knew that day that I received the shoebox gift, it was not the end for me. It was just the beginning, because years later, here I am wearing this logo, sharing my story, because that's how much it impacted me.
Put this into perspective. Samaritan's Purse is what? Because I understand Operation Christmas Child is one of the projects or one of the ways that Samaritan's Purse works. Let's just back up just a little bit farther and understand what Samaritan's Purse is and what their role is.
Mm-hmm. Samaritan's Purse is a disaster relief organization. And they go to the hottest places around the world whenever there's a disaster. So speaking here in the United States, for example, whenever there's a hurricane or any kind of disaster, that natural disaster that happens, they go there. And usually they're the first on the ground. They try to go as soon as possible to provide relief when hurricane hits or when disaster happens somewhere around the world. You know, when, for example, when Ebola hit, they went there to be the ones to treat the people. They also had a field hospital in places around the world when there was a lot of sickness, or whenever there was war happening or any kind of disaster that needed that kind of relief. Even when COVID hits, you know, in New York, they set up a hospital there to treat the overflow of people that the hospital could not contain in that part of the world. So their purpose is to be, you know, from the name Samaritan's Purse, to be the ones to go and provide relief for the people. And so their main purpose is to be able to be on the ground, be with the people, to run toward where the danger is, where the need is, instead of running away from it. And Samaritan's Purse has so many different other projects. You know, for example, one of their other projects is Operation Heal Our Patriot, where they focus on the patriot that have been injured. And I know they have that project. Sometimes they bring them, I believe in Alaska, it's when they bring those patriot and they spend time with them. And they have also other projects. North American Ministries, for example, as I mentioned, when anything happens as a disaster or hurricane, they're also the ones on the ground to provide relief for those people. And so many other different projects that Samaritan's Purse is involved in, but they want to show God's love to people by helping physically. So that's the purpose of Samaritan's Purse.
The CEO and founder of Samaritan's Purse is Franklin Graham. And for some of the listeners, they might recognize his father's name. If they don't already know who Franklin Graham is, they might recognize his father's name, Billy Graham. So when you think about Billy Graham and his, I guess, the effect that he had on so many people around the world, and the love that he spoke of and the way that he shared it, and then you look at his son, Franklin Graham, and now what Franklin Graham has been able to do, and of course, with the help of an amazing team around the world, thousands upon thousands of people that helped to make that happen. But here's the point. Here's where I'm going with that. Do you think, Danya, that what we choose to do and the decisions we make and the ways that we give to others and serve other people, do you think that that has a ripple effect out into the future and around the world?
I believe so. it took one person to do that for me, right? The ripple effect for me, somebody packed a shoebox and in turn I received it and I was impacted by it. And in turn I came to the States and then I started to give back. And now it's really part of my life because of that one person that decided to take part of this. And so I know from the Ministry of Samaritan's Purse and also Operation Christmas Child, it's not only one-time thing, right? It's not just you pack a shoebox and you send it and it's a temporary thing and that's it. You know, what I like about this ministry is specifically Operation Christmas Child, as we're talking about this project, is that even when you pack a shoebox and send it to a child, it doesn't stop there, right? To me, it was impactful. The items were impactful because they were an answer to my prayers. The whole experience reminded me that God loves me and I'm seen and I'm not forgotten. But it doesn't stop there because as we have teams on the ground there, as children receive the shoeboxes through those teams, children are also invited back to a follow-up program that we also offer. This program teaches them more about who God is and how they're loved by their creator. And it's a 12-week program. And we have heard of so many children who continued going back to those missionaries or those pastors because they have felt so loved. They have felt so cared, but also they were curious to know more about this God who loves them and who showed himself to them through a tangible shoebox gift. And so in turn, these children, they go further and they tell their families about the hope that they have experienced, this love they have experienced. And, you know, this is the ripple effect, right? It's not just one-time thing. They receive a box and there's a follow-up program. And after that follow-up, children go and tell their friends about that, right? And we have heard of so many, even churches being planted because of those children that kept going back and they continued wanting to be meeting with the community around them. And so it's definitely a ripple effect in that area when talking about Operation Christmas Child.
Dania, what would your invitation be to someone here in the West who's looking for something they can do that will make a difference in the life of a child, perhaps far from here, to show them some love, to show them that they're cared for, that they're not forgotten, to use your words? What's the invitation to those that you would like to see join Operation Christmas Child in this effort?
Now, Adam, many people, as you mentioned, they look for that purpose, right? They want to make a difference. They want to be part of something. And many people even think to the extent of, you know, maybe I can travel somewhere, which is good, right? So many people are called to do so many different things. But some people are just so limited and they can't physically go and make that kind of difference, at least not yet. In their season of life. And what I love about Operation Christmas Child is how you can reach people around the world or children around the world while being at your own home and still make a difference. So it's a great way, fun way to do it with your family or even on your own. But just imagine that these shoeboxes or the shoebox, however many you are planning on packing, you fill them with these items and you send them to those children. And then you are sitting here in this country using the resources that other children or other countries don't have, right? We have been blessed to have so many resources that other countries don't. And so what you can do to find that purpose and to make a difference is to use these resources, pack a shoebox, fill it with items, and then send it to that child. And I'm telling you from my own experience, although it's been over 20 years since I received my shoebox, I can never forget how it made me feel and the impact it created in my life. And so you can also be part of making another child's story, just like someone played a part in making mine. So I encourage you to get involved in this great ministry.
If you could tell that child, the child living in a situation much like you were living in 20 years ago, living in poverty, maybe a lack of security and at times persecution, what would you tell that child? If you could tell them something today, what's your message to them?
Well, I mean, being that child that once was in their shoes, what I have loved and wanted to hear at that in that part of the world faced with rejection because of my faith and faced with poverty, I think one of the things that I would have loved to hear was that you are seen and you are loved and you're not forgotten. I remember I really wanted to hear that, you know, God is close to me and he knows me and he sees me. You know, and so for the children there are like this in those parts of the world, I wish just I could communicate to them that they are not invisible, that they are seen. And most importantly, they are loved and known by the same person who created them, by the God of the universe. And if there's a way that I can just tell them that, to know that they are deeply known and deeply loved for who they are, this is the message I want them to know, because that's the message I wanted to hear.
Danya, thank you so much for your time today. You are a remarkable person. You have a remarkable story. And I do want to invite the listeners and the viewers of The Edge of Adventure here with Adam Asher to log on to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, and find out how you can get involved with Operation Christmas Child. Find out how you can take some time out of your busy schedule, that schedule that maybe even you are struggling with and frustrated with at times. Take some time out of that. Get the kids together and do something for a child in need, someplace perhaps far from here. Do something to make sure that they know that they're loved. And Danya, you've said it so well. You've said it so well. And I definitely take from this conversation that need and that desire that these precious children have around the world to be seen. Thank you for a remarkable interview. Thank you for doing something with your life to help those children be seen and know that they are loved by us and by their creator. Thank you again, Danya.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you all for joining us for this edition of the Edge of Adventure podcast. We'll see you again next time. Thank you all, and Merry Christmas.
My name is Adam Asher, and you've been listening to the Edge of Adventure podcast. To learn more, log on to theedgeofadventure.com. And while you're there, check out the video series where we go off the grid to discover some of the great things people are doing all around the globe to make the world a better place. I call it my search for adventure and purpose. You'll find us on social media too. Just look for the hashtag TheEdgeOfAdventure. Thanks for joining us. Always great to have you with us as together we aim to live life for something bigger than ourselves. This is The Edge of Adventure, where we go beyond status quo.